Radhamadhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. 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 Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. 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 Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Porte Manandi ho. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning, Canto 10, Chapter 8, text number 30. Excuse me, 31. 31. And again, this really long, I don't know how to recite it nicely. Verse. Evam darshayanti ushati kurute mehanadina vastau. Stenyo payair virichita kriti supratiko yataste. Etam stri bhisa bhaya nayana sri mukhano mukhaloki nibhir. Vyakya tarta prahasita mukhi na hi upalabdham aichat. And the translation. When Krishna is caught in his naughty activities, the master of the house will say to him, "Oh, you are a thief," and artificially express anger at Krishna. Krishna will then reply, "I am not a thief, you are a thief." Sometimes being angry, Krishna passes urine and stool in a neat, clean place in our houses. But now, our dear friend Yashoda, this expert thief is sitting before you like a very good boy. Sometimes all the gopis would look at Krishna sitting there, his eyes fearful, so that his mother Yashoda would not chastise him. And when they saw Krishna's beautiful face, instead of chastising him, they would simply look upon his face and enjoy transcendental bliss. Mother Yashoda would mildly smile at all this fun, and she would not want to chastise her blessed transcendental child. Purport. Krishna's business in the neighborhood was not only to steal, but sometimes pass stool and urine in a neat, clean house. When caught by the master of the house, Krishna would chastise him, saying, "You are a thief." Aside from being a thief in his childhood affairs, Krishna acted as an expert thief when he was young by attracting young girls and enjoying them in the rasa dance. This is Krishna's business. He is also violent, as the killer of many demons. Although mundane people like nonviolence and other such brilliant qualities, God, the Absolute Truth, being always the same, is good in any activities, even so-called immoral activities like stealing, killing, and violence. Krishna is always pure, and he is always the Supreme Absolute Truth. Krishna may do anything supposedly abominable in material life, yet he is attractive. Therefore, his name is Krishna, meaning all attractive. This is the platform on which transcendental loving affairs and service are exchanged. Because of the features of Krishna's face, the mothers were so attracted that they could not chastise him. Instead of chastising him, they smiled and enjoyed hearing of Krishna's activities. Thus, the gopis remained satisfied, and Krishna enjoyed their happiness. Therefore, another name of Krishna is Gopijana Vallabha, because he invented such activities to please the gopis. That's the final verse of this little subsection, and the next one starts the showing Mother Jasoda the universal form. Although our acharyas don't comment like this specifically, it seems that in addition to showing a flow of activities up to a certain stage, that is to say, his learning to walk from crawling and being with Balaram, and then these naughty activities that seems to be a little older than the next one. Besides the chronological flow, one of the purposes of the emphasis here seems to be to prepare coming attractions. The coming attraction is the naughtiness that Mother Jasoda knows that Krishna is capable of by his stealing, that maybe he ate dirt, because that's coming up. Krishna is being accused. He denies it and so forth. And then the next chapter, where Mother Jasoda directly sees not just the neighbor's report, but she directly sees, or in her own household, Krishna's breaking butter pots and stealing butter and so forth. So, time for action. My point is, it's creating a mood by narrating these particular activities. Besides, these particular activities have stimulation for ecstatic love, like we discussed. The gopis, they enjoy discussing these activities. Mother Jasoda enjoys the gopis discussing these activities. The last statement in the purport, Krishna creates these activities to give pleasure to the gopis, and their pleasure is something that he enjoys. Now, he could enjoy their pleasure just by accepting, going, saying, my dear mother, may I have some butter and yogurt? And they would enjoy giving him butter and yogurt. And so forth. But there's variegatedness, and part of the variegatedness is being displayed. And as Prabhupada is pointing out, he's all good absolute. He's all pure. That's who he is. And therefore, those activities which for us, here's this morality, immorality topic again, but for us are immoral, for Krishna they're pure, because he's the supreme pure. And when he says, you're a thief, he means it. Now, they have love for Krishna, so they're not taking from Krishna what belongs to Krishna. That's not their mentality. But their butter, their yogurt, because it's their house, and those, even in Vrindavan, even amongst the Brijvasis, there is that sense. At the same time, there's the sense that it's all for Krishna. So how does one live in this world in practical terms and be involved with matter but not be attached to matter. Not think in terms of the false egoistic I and mine. And we can get a notional idea about that. Everything belongs to Krishna. But practically speaking, what does it look like? So here's what it looks like. They have that idea. My house, my this and my that, my family, my calves, my butter, my yogurt, my place of worship. Well, we're going to read in a moment the two commentaries that our acharyas have on this. It's very interesting. So they're not avadutas. They give protection to their cows. They give protection to cows, and specifically they give protection to their cows. They have a sense of their cows, their home. But it's not, what I'm trying to say here is it's not impersonal or void. There is personalism with Krishna at the center. And when there's personalism with Krishna at the center, those things of I and mine are there. But it's not the ego, for the material ego sense of I and mine. So here's what it looked like. You're a thief. And again, that's pleasure. Because they could say what they won't say. You know, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything belongs to you. And so it's yours. You can do whatever you like. These are Vrijvasis, and they don't have that sense of divinity of Krishna. They have the sense of affection for Krishna. And so in Vaikuntha, where there isn't this Madhurya, there's no, Lord Narayana doesn't go steal. But in Vrindavan, he goes and steals. Because there's this intimacy that stimulates ecstatic love. And those who are stolen from and find happiness in Krishna stealing from them, and everything else that we're hearing, going to Mother Yashoda complaining and laughing and seeing Krishna's smiling face and forgetting everything, and it's all pleasure pastimes. So within Krishna is everything. He's the Supreme Pure, and he knows the hearts of his devotees, and he stimulates the love of his devotees in ways that don't have boundaries, the moralistic boundaries. Here's Acharya's writing on this. First comes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The gopis, this is in, from the series. It's not only that he steals. Oh, Yashoda, blissful on hearing the pastimes of your son, oh, famous one, he passes urine and stool in the room cleaned for worship, thus making it contaminated. And he also pulls the women's braids and saris, proposes marriage to them, and kicks them. These are not in the verse. Vishwanath says at the end, although these things are not written in the verse, these are parts of the exchanges. You will also earn a lot of wealth through this son. Now he is stealing yogurt, but when he grows, he will steal others' money and wives. He looks very innocent in front of you. End of their statement. So now Vishwanath says, Now the result of the gopis' loving criticism is stated. What's that? The result of their criticism? Krishna showed fear in his eyes. From fear that Mother Jasoda would beat him, his beautiful face was trembling. The gopis could not help but look at that charming face. All was explained to Yashoda, who had become blissful on seeing his face, splendid with many emotions, and with hearing and seeing his exploits. She smiled. Prahasita Mukha, and had no desire to scold him. Mother Jasoda, by my son's disturbance, let them drown in bliss. And when these incidents have come to me, let those stories drown me in bliss. This sense should be supplied, though unwritten here. So now Jiva Goswami, seeing the child in fear, they summarized the acts and told another incident for laughter's sake. He is expert at stealing. He does other naughty acts. He pulls the upper cloth of some elderly, laughing women, relatives of the gopis, and orders them around like women in his own house. Moreover, he urinates in their houses. They cannot constantly clean up the mess. Please come and see this. See, it is he who has done this and not anyone else. They all speak. Now, Krishna is sitting quietly. Having described the pastimes, filled with prema, Shukadeva describes Yashoda's prema. The result of their scolding him with prema and joking is described. He had fearful eyes, having heard all the complaints, but being confident, Mother Jasoda smiled very slightly because of the fickle activities of her son and the amusing accusations of the gopis. She, Mother Jasoda, could not scold him. Instead, she said with affection, "Oh, child, why do you do such things to these people?" Having verified what he did, they had come here to scold him. Understanding that his mother was lax, he would come again to our houses and perform pranks. He could not be restricted except by his mother. Then he quotes a verse, doesn't give the source. The Lord is without urine and stool. Glorifying him, remembering him, and hearing about him destroys the impurities of all people. Now that doesn't say what I... This is the translation of the verse. But he's making a statement in any case. The Lord doesn't have urine and stool, but he passed urine and stool for pastime's sake. Like Krishna showing blood when the arrows of Bhishma struck him, or other things like that. Then here's a quote from the Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 60. We're at Chapter 8. Chapter 60. A woman who fails to relish the fragrance of the honey of your lotus feet becomes totally befooled, and thus she accepts as her husband or lover a living corpse covered with skin, whiskers, nails, head hair, and bodily hair, and filled with flesh, bones, blood, parasites, feces, mucus, bile, and air. These are words of Rukmini. According to the words of Rukmini, though it is not possible for the Lord to have urine and stool, for the pleasure of infant pastimes, illusory urine and stool were produced. That's Jiva Goswami. He can do anything. So, in Goloka, there's urine and stool. Somebody asked me that once.
If their bodies are all spiritual,
do they have to pass? Wow. That was a far-out question. So next time I'm asked that question, I'll say, if I'm asked that question again, not only that, Krishna, now he had hair. But not material. And whatever he has or is, whatever he does, it's just part of the mystery of Krishna and the all-attractiveness of Krishna. And we're hearing in Prabhupada's purport, it's not from our acharyas, but a definition, a rendering of Gopijana Vallabha. Now commonly when we hear Gopijana Vallabha, these my thoughts are accustomed to go to the young gopis. But of course these are elder gopis and they have a different mood of love, they have parental affection. But the he who gives pleasure to them and when they're experiencing pleasure gives pleasure to him, either way it means Gopijana Vallabha. These pastimes are exchanges of ecstatic love. Let's just go for a moment to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically, or Krishna specifically, wanting to experience the happiness of the love of Radha. Now there are persons in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes that are elder to Lord Chaitanya and male, like Pundarik Vidyanidhi was elder to Lord Chaitanya. And he said in his pastimes, Chaitanya Charitamrita records, he referred to Pundarik Vidyanidhi as his father. But the father of Radha is King Vrishabhanu. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi in Krishna's pastimes is King Vrishabhanu. So Krishna, in the role of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is experiencing the happiness of Radha towards her father, Vrishabhanu. In other words, not just Radha's emotions towards Krishna, but Radha's emotions. And with Ramananda Roy. Krishna, Krishna. Srup Damodar, there Lalita and Vishakha. And he's experiencing the happiness of Radha in the company of Lalita and Vishakha. emphasis always goes to the experiencing the happiness of Radha in her love and the love of Radha for Krishna and so forth. But the other is also there. It's not absent. The full variegatedness is there. What a mystery that one is. Let's go back to Goloka. It's less confusing or less mysterious, but still mysterious, because the absolute nature of Krishna doesn't become less absolute when he does things that by worldly standards are unacceptable or immoral, like the same moral and immoral discussion as before. And people that, so the advice repeated over and over and over and over and over and over by Srila Prabhupada in the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement is, he would use this word sahajiyas, that would imitate the activities of Krishna. And, you know, not only it was going on, it is going on. And people get cheated. And so he advised us, don't go to the 10th canto pastimes. Go to the entire earlier cantos and become well conversant in them, because they help prepare one to become clear about the position of Krishna, the transcendental, absolute nature of Krishna, the all-good nature of Krishna. God is all-good. You know, if God is good, why does he fill in the blank? Why did he let this bad thing happen? Why is, if God is all good, why is there war, or why do people suffer, or why this and why that? Like, he's accountable to their judgment. I mean, some people, it's not holding him accountable. They genuinely want, an explanation. But some people, it's just, it's their foundation or the basis of their atheism. Prabhupada explained like that. His German godbrother, this professor that came to meet Bhaktisiddhanta, took initiation from him, described to Prabhupada in Germany during World War II, people prayed to God, let our son or husband or father come back, and he didn't come back, and so they became atheists because they had this expectation. God is the order supplier. And when it didn't go according to their order, they became atheists. And it's not just those kinds of situations. We've all encountered, I'm sure. I've encountered many situations where people just get broken because something really bad happens. And it doesn't have to be something bad happens to a good person, just something bad happens. And that's this division between the theist and the atheist. The theist, when something bad happens, it's impetus to take greater shelter. And the atheist is lesser shelter. So it means it really wasn't shelter even when it was good times. Really wasn't shelter. And largely, that's the status of the world, in Kali Yuga in particular. But faith is really important, and faith shouldn't be blind faith. So the transcendental faith, to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna, requires both, we discussed this at length in Puri, both faith and mercy, because without mercy, even you have faith, you're not going to be able to understand. And with mercy, you can understand that which is otherwise incomprehensible. And then, you know, the logicians, say, oh, that's silly. You have to have faith and mercy, and then you can understand. Harumph. You're just a sentimentalist. So, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, let them call me whatever they want. I have faith. I want shelter, lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. That's what I want. And the residents of Vrindavan, similarly. So, to some degree, a life of devotion brings its share of challenges. It brings its share of certainly some people having appreciation. Here's a person of genuine faith. But that genuine faith, our teaching is, should be based upon scripture. Guru and Sadhu explaining scripture, but based upon scripture. So we're getting the opportunity through these childhood pastimes of Krishna to get some insight through the association, the sound vibration of our great acharyas, to understand to some degree the transcendental nature of the transcendental Lord. Because we're conditioned to take some time. But the faithful stay the course and receive the mercy and get some understanding. So let's see if there's some discussion.
From Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, there is a sentence that Krishna cannot be controlled by anyone except his mother.
So, that's the elder gopis are saying that about her. We can't control him, you got to control him. That's their mood. That's what they're expressing. Okay.
And I cannot catch. You said something, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. What did he say?
No. What did who say?
Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur.
Prabodhananda Saraswati.
Yeah.
He said, you know, different categories of people. This is one verse from Chaitanya Chandramrita. Different people criticize me. And the moralists criticize this way, the atheists criticize that way, and he identifies the way that they criticize a faithful person. And he says, let them go on with their criticism. For me, there's the shelter is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. I don't mind. It's not going to change my faith. My faith is immovable, unchangeable, fixed. So my point was, devotees face criticism. People that don't understand, whatever it might be, worldly people, family members, whatever. It's okay. It's not like it's nice, but it's okay. It's just part of the territory of moving towards transcendence, and people that don't understand, some people will feel but not say, and some people will say, what's wrong with you? You know, there's so many. It's fine to be religious, but don't be a fanatic. That's a variety of how some people say. Okay, yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your class. You were mentioning this purport missions sometimes Krishna performs immoral activities, but we can...
Sometimes Krishna does what?
Perform immoral activities from...
Well, by worldly...
Estimation.
Evaluation, yeah.
There's a chapter in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, Volume 1, I believe, is entitled Transcendental Morality. And in that chapter, it mentions that Bhaktisiddhanta told one of his disciples, his disciples came up to him and said, Bhaktisiddhanta, I can't stay at this festival. I have to go back to my job. And Bhaktisiddhanta says, just lie to your boss and stay. And some lawyer or somebody was there and witnessed this, and he criticized Bhaktisiddhanta and left the movement. So one of Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples went to go find this lawyer and gave an analogy that if your wife was, if you hid your wife in the house from a dacoit, you know, sometimes you have to be duplicitous, and this kind of convinced him. So my question is that related to some pastimes with Prabhupada's disciples I heard in the 70s, sometimes they will procure items or take some flowers, you know, under the guise that this is transcendental morality, even though this is Christian property, even though it's in somebody else's garden. So my question is this true, and what did Prabhupada say to his disciples?
I heard different things. You know, one of the main ones that I heard at more predominantly is follow the law. Like Gopinath Patanayak, follow the law. Don't take the property of the king. Now, to do on behalf of Krishna. Jayananda, you know, a classic example. Jayananda was caught stealing pants in a store. And you know, the people caught him. And he said, well, I can't take money from Krishna to buy something for me. So, you know, that was his mood. It's not what Prabhupada wanted, but that was his mood. And he was, you know, honored. But we should follow the law. So this transcendental trickery thing, it got way out of hand during some period of our Hare Krishna movement. I mean, not only in terms of book distribution, but in terms of other things. Not paying tolls at toll gates and running the toll gates. And, you know, now it won't work because they take a picture, you get a penalty. But follow the law. Generally speaking, that's my understanding of what Prabhupada's response was. Because he knew his audience, his students, were counterculture, lawless, defiant, do something just because it's against the law, against the higher order of things, being rebellious. So he wanted, that's my understanding anyway, generally speaking, his instruction was follow the law, act lawfully, earn your income in an honest way, etc. Not the other ways. Now there's exceptions, and he would say things, other things. You know, a Vaishya has to lie. So people go, it's bona fide, you can lie. And just misuse.
I have a motto that's, one step ahead of Maya and two steps ahead of criticism. So if I'm out there on the street with my dhoti on, you know, people are looking at you, and you want to be, their eyes are upon you, so you have to be very careful because they're very critical. So, but when you don't have your dhoti on, it's, you know, you're kind of incognito, you know. But so we always have to be aware that, you know, the critical observation from them is, you know, always upon us. So we always have to be on our best behavior.
Yeah. Well, there are certain, fortunately, our founder Acharya set certain boundaries of what is above criticism, even people may criticize, like wearing a dhoti. He did it himself and insisted his followers do, and shaved head, and you know, he would comment, people ridicule, they criticize our shaved head. But he wanted the devotees to have shaved heads. Anyway, so there are certain boundaries of it, of all the criticism they come, we're going to represent and remind people of Krishna. Now, there's boundaries to not do that. You know, book distributors dressed in different clothing and so forth. Okay? Okay, Srila Prabhupada Gita.